Well, good evening. Good evening. It's good to see everybody that is here in person. Glad to see those of you with us on our social media platforms there. Thank you for joining us, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe. Especially comment there. Let us know you're watching. That also helps us, especially with Facebook. They get a little bit different on some of their algorithm things. And so it helps us to know how many are watching, are actually watching for the whole service. So just let us know you're watching. There. If you do have any prayer requests, please do that over on Facebook. Also, just put a request there, or you can call the church office, and we'll be glad to put that on the prayer list for next time. But welcome to those who are listening on our phone live streaming. Thank you for joining with us also. Want to encourage you, if you do have access at home to the church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab. You can download the worship bulletin there. These are at the doors as you came in tonight. The children's worship bulletins, one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. They're in the windowsill to my right. And especially for tonight, the prayer list is there. Here in person, they're on the front pews here. If you didn't get one, be sure to grab one. If you see somebody that comes in a little bit late, make sure that they get one also. And then also don't forget that while you're on the church website there, you can go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab, and do your online giving there. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. We do have a few of the prayer guides that are left from this past Saturday with our prayer emphasis on July the 4th. If you want to pick up one of those, I do know there are some on this side. I'm not sure if there are any on the right-hand side. If you want this digitally there, maybe you're not coming, you don't get to come to church, it is on our Facebook group there. So be sure to take a look there. All of those images are there. It may even be on our Facebook page. Not sure about that, but I know it's on our Facebook group. I want to share a few other quick announcements with you, just to remind you that this coming Sunday, our youth and children, I got the date correct on the slide this time, they are going to be sharing about their summer camp trips. Pray for them. You know, sometimes it's a little bit, they're a little bit apprehensive about getting up in front of crowds to share. Just pray that God will stir their hearts. The children, I don't think, are as bad as maybe the youth with that. The older you get, you kind of get a little bit more self-conscious of those things. So pray for both of those groups as they get ready to share this Sunday, and for Pastor Matt as he brings the messages both Sunday morning and Sunday night. Want to remind you also, it's coming up on us quick here again, another week away. We've got prime timers on the 14th, so want to encourage you, that's next Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. Well, actually, it's coming Tuesday, as we are already at Wednesday here. We're going to have, it's going to be catered by Mom and Me Meals to Go, so want to encourage you to come. It's going to be a wonderful meal, a good time of fellowship. And who is our speaker, the Bee Lady? Mary Jane Miller, the Bee Lady. She's going to be coming and sharing. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be some great food, some great time of fellowship also. And then also want to remind you, our youth are doing, Pastor Matt's leading it at least anyway. It's not just our youth. But we have a lemonade stand fundraiser for Isaiah House 117, or Isaiah 117 House. I'm not sure which way I put that. It should have been the other way maybe. But that's going to be on Friday, July the 17th, 8:30 to 12 p.m. That's going to be here. Out under the trees there by the parking lot towards the pool, the area there, hopefully catching some of those people who are gone to the pool, as well as those who are here for the food share ministry. So it's going to be a great time there to just talk with people, encourage people, maybe even pray with some individuals. So just want to encourage you to make time and make your plans to be there. If you want to help with that, see Pastor Matt. Not sure all the things they'll maybe need as far as resources, but if you want to come and help physically, I'm sure they could put you to work with that. And also don't forget the youth night of worship that's coming up the end of the month at Winchester First Baptist Church. Pastor Matt's going to be leading it, sharing at that. He's going to be preaching, as well as Sam O'Neill is going to be leading the music for that. He just spoke last night, I believe it was, at Grace Baptist, and things went really well there. So just continue to pray for him as he gets ready to lead that the end of the month on July the 29th at Winchester First Baptist. I think that's all the announcements that I had for tonight to remind you of. Be sure to sign up on the board out here for Primetimers if you've not done that. The list is filling up, so make sure you get signed up there so we'll know how many to prepare for with that being catered. So I don't think there's any other announcements, so let's go ahead and we're going to, Brother Mike's not here tonight. They were up in Franklin this afternoon, and so they weren't able to get back in time. But want to ask you to take your hymn books or on the screen, and let's stand and sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness" is what we're going to be singing tonight. So would you stand? I don't think I got the song in there, but you can look on songs and see the words there somewhere. But it's page 54 in your hymn books. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. You can be seated. Let me just move a few things out of my way here. If you, hopefully at home, have had the opportunity to get your prayer list downloaded there on the church website. If you haven't, take the time, please, to do that. And then I need to go grab one more thing. Brother Jimmy, will you come do our prayer list real quick? And I'll go grab my iPad that I left in my office. You can just go through whatever you feel like to go through there.
Okay. Overlooking our HBC family, Carolyn Stone and Arthur Hargrove. And Arthur had a birthday this past week. He's 99. So he had, and everything went well for that. And bless it, he had a good birthday there. Betsy Farrell with medical issues, Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells, Amy Jackson, George Duncan, and he's still going through his infusions, but he's doing fairly well with those from what I understand. Gordon Jackson, Tommy Griffin, Gail McBride, and she's still doing well. Johnny, progressing, good. Gayla Everett, Beth Kidd, Linda Jones, Leanne Wells, Catherine Smith, J.W. Jackson, Imogene Smith, Diane Tatum, and Jean Seagraves. That's for our HBC family. Go ahead and take this.
Thank you. All right. There weren't any major updates that I knew of anybody on that side of the list. Do you have any updates or any other requests to add? And I probably need to get over to Facebook also so I can see your requests from Facebook. Social. Turn the volume down. Okay, good. Thank you for looking there. On our friends and family side, we have our military, the Music Search Committee, the Meredith family from Moldova. We did change this one with the Calgary mission trips. The Wyoming mission trips, I think, have finished. So we just have our Calgary trips. There's three of those that are going to be going on. Dwayne Thames is going to be going from our church on one of those trips. I believe it's either next week or the following week that he'll be going. So keep those in your prayers. I want to remember Katie Jo Bailey, Buddy Saunders, Mamie Thompson, Crystal Schroyer, Barbara Prince, Virginia Counts, Jack Young. Stop me if you have any updates on anyone here. Rhonda Morris, Peggy Doyle, Jimmy Williams, Mary Leibig, Lonnie Lance, Hanka Graham, Beth Durrell, Marion Burks, Jace Norman. This is my nephew. I've had several people who've asked me about him and how he's doing, and he is doing much better, still continues to improve. He's still has a ways to go with his healing process, but just keep him in your prayers as he continues to have rehab at home. Still has some more tests upcoming. I remember Betty Pittinger, Ken and Catherine Sargent, John Sakich. All right, and that's on John Sakich. For those of you at home, he had an appointment with his orthopedic surgeon. He said that another month before he can be fully putting his weight load-bearing there. So just continue to keep him in your prayers as he continues to recover from his previous surgery. Remember Vicki Lynn, Philip Tatum, Nancy Rose, Kathleen Scoggins. Yes, Kathleen Scoggins is doing much better. So we'll remove her from the prayer list for next week. So thank you for that update. Gladys Griffin, Joanne Woodson. Okay, so Joanne Woodson's medication seems to be working, so we praise the Lord for that. We have Greg Perry. Also, Bethany Stringfield Brooks asked Mike about her, and she is doing well, continues to regain more and more of her hearing. So we just praise the Lord. The surgery went well, and she is recovering well. We added Harper Simmerly last week, who lost a stepbrother, and Grandfather Harper is 14 years old and lost both of those within just a week or two there. And so... So Harper, who lost her stepbrother, who was an infant.
He was 22.
Okay. So he was 22. He they had his service Monday. The grandfather's service is upcoming still, and then just pray that the Lord will help them to be able to move forward with things. And then also remember Hartley Carlton. This is Max, our son-in-law's grandfather. They believe it's hospice that they have, but I know that he's continues to decline. He lives up in Mountain City with his son up there, and so keep him in your prayers as he continues to progressively get worse there. So the other update I did have, unless you have any more updates of these or wanted to add. So that's the young boy's name. Okay. Justin Ellis. Okay. So this prayer request is for Justin Ellis, who is the grandson of a friend of Jimmy and theirs here in Tullahoma. Justin lives in Ohio, was on a motorcycle, and was at a red light vehicle, hit him there, broke both legs, and has had emergency surgeries already. So just keep him in your prayers, keep his family in your prayers. That's Justin Ellis. Any others there? Let me just tell you about Amy. She hasn't gotten the official report from her doctor, but she said that what she has seen said that things have not increased or grown. The clot that she had shows that it's gone on one of the reports that she's seen, but she hasn't had that official word yet. She does have stage 4 renal cell carcinoma, so keep her in your prayers for that. She added that on the list there, and I forgot to mention that earlier. All right, on our nursing home assisted living list, we have Beverly Daniels at NHC, Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home, Janet Carter at NHC, and then also Mary Lee Stringfield at Lynchburg. Any other updates on those or other additions? I don't see any there on Facebook either. But if you're on Facebook, be sure to comment that you're there. That'll just help us to know how many watched the service tonight, as well as letting your friends know about the service. All right, seeing no others, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer then for these, as well as other unspoken needs that may be on your heart tonight. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for the blessings of this day. We thank you, Lord, for life itself. We thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us another day to be here on this earth to make an impact for your kingdom's sake. Father, I pray that when we come into your presence, we recognize and realize, Lord, we are imperfect. We have sin in our hearts, and whether it's things we've done or against you, or whether it's things, Lord, that we failed to do that you commanded us to do, maybe it's thoughts that we've had that are ungodly, Father, or maybe it's just some action that we've taken that was not right. Father, I pray that you would bring any sins to our heart and to our mind, that we might confess those things. And Lord, that we would ask forgiveness and cleansing by the precious blood of Christ for those things. Lord, we don't want anything to hinder our prayers for these individuals that we're uplifting in prayer tonight. And Father, we just pray that you will cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Lord, that the blood of Jesus Christ would cover us. Lord, that you would renew us by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the word, the power of your word. Father, that you would renew our hearts and our minds. Fill us, Lord, more and more with your presence. There would be less and less room for sin and for the wicked one in our hearts and our lives. So, Father, help us to open the door more and more in our hearts to you and to your Spirit and to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Father, and to close that door more and more to Satan and to the enemy of this world. Father, we just pray that you would hear our prayers tonight. There are many that we've mentioned tonight, as we've read every name here, you know each person's situation. You know the physical healing they need. You know the spiritual needs they have. You know the financial needs or maybe family needs, or maybe there's some emotional or mental needs that they have also. The things like these things that they're going through, Lord, can weigh on their hearts and their minds. And so, Father, we just pray that you would be with them, Lord, that you would make your presence known to each one of these individuals. If they're saved, I pray that you will fill them with your spirit and use these situations that they're going through to bring glory and honor to your name as you bring those people closer to you. For those, Lord, who may not know Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that you would use these situations they're going through to bring people across their path who will share the good news of the gospel with them, and that they would turn by faith to Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. But we uplift each and every one of them to you, Lord, and ask for your healing touch to be upon them. Make your power and your presence known to them as you bring that healing. Lord, may we glorify and testify of your great and mighty name as you bring healing to each person's life. We pray, Lord, that you will just wrap them in your loving arms, be with those who are their family members, caregivers, especially, Lord, be with those who have lost loved ones. And we just pray, God, for you to send the Holy Spirit, who is the great comforter, to bring comfort to their hearts, to their lives, Lord. We pray for your will to be done in their lives even tonight, Lord. We pray that you would just watch over these individuals and take care of them. Have your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness upon them. Lord, we pray for our youth who are meeting tonight, and just pray that you'll continue to create a fire in their hearts and youth across our community, Lord, to bring many, many young people to faith in Christ and raise up a new generation of faithful, committed followers of Jesus Christ. I pray for our children who have been a part of our Awana program, Lord, that you'll just continue to watch over them. Many of those families are on vacations. Watch over them, protect them, bring them back home safely. And we just pray, God, that as we get ready for Awana to start again in another month and a half, Father, I just pray that you'll prepare our hearts as leaders, as workers, even as church, to remember those kids in prayer, that they will hide your word in their hearts, that you would use it as a lamp unto their feet, a light unto their path, to guide them in decisions that they make, especially our youth and the things that they are tempted with from this world. Father, we just pray that you would guard their hearts and guard their minds and be with their parents and their families to give them wisdom and discernment in decisions that they're making for their kids and for their future. Father, we just pray for your will to be done tonight as we come to study once again the book of Jeremiah. I pray, God, that your word would be alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, that it would guide us and it would give us application for our lives. May we understand its truths. May we see things, Lord, that maybe we didn't see before as we've read through this passage. And Father, I pray that you will make your presence known to us as you break the word of life to us. Use it, Lord, to strengthen us. Use it, Lord, to mold us, to shape us more and more into the image of Christ Jesus. So bless your word tonight as we study your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 28. Jeremiah, chapter 28. This chapter, as I was preparing for this message tonight, is a powerful, powerful reminder of God's word and how important God's word is. I've entitled this message tonight, "When the Truth is Hard to Hear." When the truth is hard to hear. You know, most of us would admit that we enjoy hearing good news. We enjoy getting good news about young people who are getting married. We enjoy getting good news about a baby that's expected. We enjoy good news that's an encouragement or reassurance or words that give us hope. But not every truth is easy to hear. Sometimes the very truth that we need is the truth we most want to avoid. A doctor may tell a patient, "We've got to do surgery." A parent may have to correct a rebellious child. A trusted friend may lovingly confront us about a sinful habit. In every case, the truth may be painful, but it's spoken because someone cares enough to tell us what we need to hear rather than what we want to hear. And the same principle is true spiritually. Throughout Scripture, God has always spoken to his people in love. And we tend to want to focus on God's love, sometimes to the extent that we leave out God's judgment. And so the Scripture tells us that God loves us, but his love does not prevent him from speaking difficult truths to us. Sometimes he comforts us, but sometimes he confronts us. Sometimes he encourages us, but sometimes he corrects us. But because he loves us, he will never sacrifice truth simply to make us feel comfortable. Now, there are a few things that are more dangerous than a lie that sounds spiritual. People are often willing to reject hard truth if someone else offers an easier message. We naturally, in our natural person, prefer words of comfort over words of correction. We prefer promises of peace over calls to repentance. We prefer immediate relief over patient obedience. And that was exactly the atmosphere in the nation of Judah during Jeremiah's ministry. That was the situation there, and Judah was experiencing God's discipline because of years of rebellion. The nation was in crisis. Babylon had already begun to exert its power over Judah, and many of the leaders had already been carried away into captivity. The people desperately wanted to believe that their suffering was going to end pretty soon. They longed for a message. They longed for a preacher that would assure them everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to quickly return to normal. And yet it's through Jeremiah that God makes it clear that Babylon's yoke was part of his sovereign plan. We saw that in the previous chapter where he used that as an illustration, putting on this yoke of the oxen upon himself to talk about the burden that was coming upon them. That was a part of God's sovereign plan. And what that message was is that the people needed to humble themselves. The people needed to repent. They needed to submit to his discipline. But that wasn't the message everybody wanted to hear. Instead, they welcomed another prophet by the name of Hananiah, who promised a quick end to their suffering. He assures them everything is going to soon return to normal. And we're going to read about him in just a moment. The tragedy of Jeremiah 28 isn't just that a false prophet appears. False prophets had been, false prophets had come, false prophets had gone. The tragedy is that the people preferred a comfortable lie to the uncomfortable truth. They chose the message that made them feel better instead of the message that could make them right with God. And so Jeremiah 28 here presents one of the greatest confrontations between truth and deception found anywhere in the Scripture. It reminds us that God is not casual about his word. He does not tolerate those who distort it, who twist it. He doesn't excuse those who deliberately mislead his people. This chapter teaches us this timeless truth, that God is serious about his word. He's serious about truth. He's serious about those who claim to speak for him. Now, that same temptation confronts every generation. And we have to decide whether we will embrace God's truth, even when it's difficult, or whether we'll reject it because it challenges us. So what should we do when God's truth is difficult to hear? Well, this chapter reminds us that when the truth is hard to hear, we still have only one safe response, and that is to believe God, to obey His word, and to trust that His truth is always spoken for our good and for His glory. So the first thing I want you to see tonight is this. When the truth is hard to hear, we need to choose God's word over comfortable lies. In these first verses here, God is serious about the truth that we hear. So look at verse 1 down through verse 4. Especially pay attention to verse 1. We'll come back to it at the end. In that same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, Hanani, the son of Azur, the prophet from Gibeon, spoke to me, spoke to Jeremiah, in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I will also bring to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." So get the picture here. Hananiah steps onto the scene with impressive credentials. The Bible introduces him here as a prophet. He speaks publicly in the temple, and he delivers his message, probably looking at Jeremiah as to confront his message. He's before the priests and before the people. Everything about this setting gives the appearance of legitimacy. His message is exactly what everybody longs to hear. Within 2 years, Babylon's going to be defeated. The temple treasures are going to be returned. The captives that have been taken are going to come home. And the yoke of Babylon is going to be broken. It's a message that is filled with hope, but it was not filled with truth. You know, one of Satan's greatest strategies has always been to mix enough truth with enough error that people cannot immediately recognize the difference. Hananiah does not deny God. He claims to speak for God. And that's what makes false teaching so dangerous. Rarely does deception announce itself as deception. It usually comes wrapped in a religious package, in a religious language. People often may ask why false teachers attract large crowds. Well, the answer is pretty simple. False teachers generally tell people what they already want to believe. They minimize sin. They ignore repentance. They promise blessing without obedience. They emphasize comfort without conviction. They speak of God's love while neglecting God's holiness. You don't have to look very far. You can look at anyone who puts God's truth out there on social media. If you have individuals who comment about it, who don't like what you have to say, they ignore the sin. They ignore repentance. They only want to talk about, they'll say, "Well, that doesn't sound very loving. God's a God of love, but God is also a holy God," and they neglect that part of who God is. And that's what Hananiah does here. The people are eager to embrace his message because it doesn't require any change in their hearts. What it does is it lets them keep on living exactly like they've already been living while expecting God to remove every consequence of their rebellion. The tragedy is that they're not rejecting Jeremiah, they're rejecting the word of God. And that's the truth with any person who is sharing the truth of the word of God. They're not rejecting me as a pastor, they're not rejecting Jeremiah, they're rejecting the word of God. We live in a culture that often measures truth by popularity. If enough people believe something, many assume it has to be true. And yet God's truth has never depended on public opinion. The majority have been wrong. The question is never, what do I want to hear? The question is always, what has God said? And so our spiritual safety depends on learning to love the truth even when it confronts us. And that's what we've understood here as we go further into this passage, that sometimes God's word comforts us, but sometimes it convicts us. Sometimes it encourages us, but sometimes it corrects us. But every word that God speaks is for our good. When a physician hides a diagnosis, that's not compassionate. It's dangerous. And likewise, when we share the word of God, when we refuse to speak God's truth, you may gain popularity, but you don't help people to meet God. So that's our first truth, that when the truth is hard to hear, we need to choose God's word over comfortable lies. The second thing is, when the truth is hard to hear, we need to trust God's messenger. We need to trust God's messenger. Look at verse 5 down through verse 11. So Hananiah has said his word. Then verse 5, the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the present, same place, in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He's still in the same place, same situation that Hananiah spoke to. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen, may the Lord do so." Now Jeremiah's response here reveals a remarkable humility. What you see here is he does not argue with Hananiah. He doesn't become defensive. He doesn't try to win a public debate, if you will. Sometimes we feel like we have to win the argument with someone. Instead, he says something surprising. Notice again what he says. "Amen. May the Lord do so." In other words, Jeremiah would be delighted, overjoyed, if Hananiah were right. So he says, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessel of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people." I wish that were true. I wish this was going to happen. I pray that it would. But he says, "Listen to the in the hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet came to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent that prophet." So Jeremiah lays the foundation here for what we see elsewhere in the scripture, that you ought to test the spirits. You ought to make sure that what a person is saying matches up with the word of God. And so he says, when a prophet has prophesied peace, when it did come to have peace, you knew that prophet had told the truth. Then he says in verse 10, "Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke bars from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke them. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within 2 years.' But Jeremiah the prophet went his way." Jeremiah was not emotionally invested in disaster. He loved his nation. He wanted restoration. He desired mercy just as much as anybody else. And that's an important reminder for us. God's faithful servants never delight in judgment. And we as believers should never delight in judgment. What we see is we ought to grieve over sin because we genuinely love people and long to see them restored to God. And yet Jeremiah also understood something that could not be ignored. Truth is not determined by desire. It's determined by divine revelation. So he reminded everybody that all throughout Israel's history, the prophets had consistently warned of judgment and whenever God's people refused to repent. The true test, he said, of a prophet was never how persuasive he sounded. It was never how popular he became. The true test was whether that prophet's words actually came from God. And at that point, Hananiah here does something dramatic. He performs a dramatic act here. He walks over to Jeremiah, who has this yoke on him. He removes that wooden oak from his neck, and he breaks it, dashes it right there in front of everybody. It was a powerful visual illustration, and undoubtedly the crowd had to be impressed. It appeared that Hananiah had won the argument. But appearances can be deceiving. One lesson repeated throughout Scripture is that loud voices are not always the right voices. Confidence is not evidence. Charisma is not authority. Popularity is not proof. Only God's word possesses absolute authority. Now notice what Jeremiah does. What Jeremiah does next is just as remarkable. After Hananiah breaks this yoke, what does Jeremiah do? He just simply walks away. Understand this truth. There are moments when God's servant does not need to defend themselves. We simply wait until God speaks. And that requires faith. Many of us, we feel compelled when somebody wants to argue with us, we feel compelled to answer immediately whenever we're criticized or whenever we're misunderstood or challenged. We feel like we've got to say something. We've got to win the argument. Jeremiah trusted God can defend himself. He can defend his own truth. And there's great wisdom in learning to wait on the Lord instead of us reacting, if you will, emotionally. Sometimes the strongest response is not speaking first, but it's allowing God to speak last. Sometimes it's just a step off. Maybe pray for that individual. Maybe pray for you that God would give you the response that maybe you should share so that you're not speaking out of your emotions. All of that leads us to our last point, that when the truth is hard to hear, we need to remember that rejecting it has consequences. Rejecting it has consequences. We pick up in verse 12 down through the end of the chapter. Sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke bars off from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Now, we're not told exactly how long that was. It was sometime after he had broken the yoke off of the neck of Jeremiah. He says to him in verse 13, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go tell Hananiah, thus says the Lord. You have broken wooden bars, but you have made in their place bars of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put upon the neck of all these nations an iron yoke to serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they shall serve him, for I have given to him even the beasts of the field. Verse 15, and Jeremiah the prophet said to the prophet Hananiah, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you've uttered rebellion against the Lord. And then read verse 17. In that same year, in the seventh month, the prophet Hananiah died. God is serious about the consequences of rejecting his word. After Jeremiah leaves, The Lord speaks again. Now notice the order. Jeremiah never invented a message. He never spoke from emotion. He never responded out of personal frustration. He waited until the Lord had spoken, and only then does he return with a new message. That's always the mark of a faithful servant of God. Understand this, our responsibility is not to create truth, but faithfully to declare the truth that God has already revealed, especially in his word. Now, the Lord's message was sobering. Look at verse 13 again. You have broken wooden bars, but you have made in their place bars of iron. The wooden yoke represented God's discipline. And by rejecting God's discipline, which was what the image of what he did, and taking that, which the wooden yoke that Jeremiah was carrying represented God was going to discipline them, he took that and broke it. He was ultimately rejecting God's discipline. And by rejecting that discipline, the people were not escaping judgment. They were making it even more severe. There's an important principle here for every one of us as believers. When we resist God's loving correction, we often create greater consequences for ourselves. God's discipline is always intended to bring us to repentance, to bring us to restoration, to renew our relationship with him. But when we stubbornly resist his correction, our heart becomes harder, our sins become deeper, and the consequences become heavier. The wooden yoke becomes an iron yoke. And then Jeremiah turns directly to Hananiah with a message no one wanted to hear. He says very plainly, Hananiah, God never sent you. Hananiah had caused the people to trust in a lie. Those are frightening words, because the greatest danger wasn't just that Hananiah had been mistaken. He had deliberately spoken in God's name when God had never spoken. Jeremiah then announces God's judgment that before this year is over, Hananiah is going to die because he preached rebellion against the Lord. And this chapter closes with chilling simplicity. Did you notice it there? Remember how this chapter begins? It begins in that same year, the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. And then in verse 17, the same words again, in that same year. In that same year in verse 1, and verse 17 closes with those same words. That's not an accident. The Holy Spirit has framed this entire chapter to remind us that God always has the final word. It begins with Hananiah standing before the people with confidence, making promises that everybody wanted to hear, and he boldly declares that in 2 years, Babylon's yoke is going to be broken. But before those 2 years could ever arrive, God speaks again. Jeremiah faithfully delivers his message. And before that same year ended, Hananiah was dead, just like God had said. Understand this, that false prophet had predicted 2 years, but God answers within just a couple of months. God didn't need years to vindicate his word. He proved in his own time that his truth stands forever. Hananiah died just a couple of months later, exactly like Jeremiah had prophesied. And once again, God's word proved true. That ending reminds us that God takes his word seriously. His patience with us should never be mistaken for indifference. And his mercy with us should never be confused with his approval of what we're doing. So, in other words, just because maybe God hasn't judged us yet for immoral or